Hey, everybody. I don't know if I want this. Hold on. How do I turn this thing on?
Turn it off.
It records.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to. Okay, hi, everybody. My name is Richard. I am a recovering alcoholic. My preemptive apologies. I was not prepared for this one bit, but I'm going to do my best. Here we go. Where do I start? I think I might have had my first drink when I was like two. My dad and mom were both alcoholics. My dad was an attorney, and he would come home after work, and he'd drink his three martinis and his five beers. I think I only saw him really drunk maybe a total of like three times. But he would always have his steady drinks, and I loved the olives in his martinis. So at a very young age, probably about five or six, I was eating every single olive, and got pretty drunk off olives. But I didn't actually really start. I think the first time I got really drunk, me and my best friend decided to steal some vanilla extract from Winn-Dixie. And that was awesome. No, I got sick my first time. You know, it was awesome. But I remember just being different right off the bat. I drank to the point where I was near, you know, like getting sick, and that was like my first time really getting a drink. So I should have known I had a problem then. I grew up in like one of those families where we were a hip, kind of different, sort of like European style, where it was okay to, you know, drink at a young age, so as for not to be the forbidden fruit. So maybe we should, you know, be allowed to have beer at the dinner table on special occasions. And so they thought that might keep me from becoming a wild, crazy alcoholic. And didn't just help me out. Let's see here. I went to a private school. I was born and raised here in Tampa, and born at St. Joe's Hospital. Went to a small, little, nerdy, gifted school in a house. Rode a short bus. The first time I actually got to go to a normal kid's school, none of my credits transferred. My school wasn't accredited, so I basically started over doing stuff in ninth grade that I had done in fourth grade, and I just gave up on school, and I just didn't care. So my school actually sent, at the summer after my freshman year, my school did a trip to France, Italy, Switzerland, and Monaco. And everybody else was allowed to get a signed note from their parents saying they were allowed to drink over there, but due to my dad being an attorney, I think they had to send a teacher personally to come hear it face-to-face. They're like, we don't want to get a lawsuit on this one. So I got to go to France, and that was when my dad got me, in case I lost my traveler's checks, he thought maybe a Visa Platinum would be a good idea. So I was partying in the French Riviera at 14 years old, like out till 3 in the morning, drinking like a rock star. It was, yeah, really bad. I blacked out. I think my first blackout was when I was 14. So that just kind of paved the way for a, you know, I know this is AA, so I don't want to get too deep into the drug scene, but I'll just say that at 16, I did everything backwards. I tried acid first. I didn't. They say marijuana is not a gateway drug. Alcohol is the gateway drug. Then the acid, and then. Then the marijuana, which was laced with angel dust. I mean, I just started off with a bang, dude. Like that was when I was 16. So, I lived with my dad. He was going through cancer, and I was the only one who knew, me and him and his doctor, because he had throat cancer, and because he was an attorney, he was afraid that if word got out, he'd lose his clientele, lose his job, lose his insurance, and lose everything. So I had to keep that a secret, and it was a pretty rough secret to keep. That's when I started really drinking to just mask things, and I'm not making excuses. I am what I am, but that's when I started drinking to purposely, like, just numb myself. And so, long story short, I got into the rave scene, and I always like to tell people I raved my way into the Navy. I had glow sticks on my hands when I was walking into boot camp. No, I went in the Navy because things had gotten out of hand, and I was getting into some really deep and heavy stuff, and I just decided, you know what, I need to just go to detox, and it's called boot camp. So I went in the Navy, and shortly after I started in the Navy, I was I was, well, let's see here. I was in Arizona at an Army base. I was in Navy intelligence, and if I told you, I'd have to kill you. No, I'm just kidding. But I was going through school, and my dad died, and it was just rough. Actually, this is the first time I've ever shared that. So, so when my dad died, I lost it. I just lost it. And on top of that, I inherited too much money for a kid who had an alcohol problem and free reign to do whatever he wanted and just lost his dad. And a month or so later, I was transferred and stationed in Tokyo, the world's largest nightclub district, where there's no such thing as last call. And that's not good when you got like $60,000 in your checking account on your debit card. Because I would go out, and when I say I'd go out on a Friday night at 6 p.m. and come back Sunday at 3 p.m., I mean, we'd go out and drink for close to 48 hours straight. And it was just, and everybody else was doing it. I was just a normal sailor, you know? No, there was nothing normal about my drinking. I would drink and drink and drink and drink and drink some more. I would polish off a bottle of a fifth of Crown Royal as I was getting ready to go out. Like, that was my, like, pregame start. Let's go ahead and polish off a fifth of Crown Royal. I actually was able to pack out my entire Navy gear in those little purple Crown Royal bags. Because that's how many I drank. But no, but seriously. So I ended up from being in the Navy in Japan. I got to travel to quite a few amazing places, and it wasn't always bad. I mean, I got to, I got to drink green beer in Korea on St. Paddy's Day, and I got to party in Australia and Hong Kong and Thailand and all sorts of cool places. But all the while, I was drinking, and drinking way too much, even more than the rest of the Navy guys who were all drinkers, too. It's like even the chiefs and the older guys were just big kids. Everybody would go straight from the bar to go run PT. That's a fun thing to do, by the way. Drink till 5 in the morning and then go run 5 miles. But that's what we did, and everybody was doing it. But I was still different, even though they were all hardcore drinkers. I was still, looking back on it, I almost got kicked out of the Navy 3 times for drinking problems, for oversleeping because I went out too late the night before, for leaving base when I shouldn't have. After 9/11 happened, I lost it again, and lost a lot of... Anyway, I did a lot of stupid things, and it was all alcohol-related. And even though I told you before I had some drugs involved, every part of my dumb, stupid, regrettable stories are wrapped up around alcohol. So I got out of the Navy and went. I came back to Tampa and got a job at a bar. So I was working in Channelside at Stump's Supper Club, and I was able to go from there to Howl at the Moon, and of course, being the friendly, goofy guy that I am, I made friends with everybody, and all of a sudden, it was like open bar forever. And, you know, so I met my ex-wife at the time, and she wasn't a heavy drinker. She was like a glass of wine, and she was one of those people that's like had a couple drinks, and they start feeling buzzed, and they don't want to drink anymore because of it. I was like, wow, what's that like? I'm feeling funny. I think I'm going to stop. I'm like, okay, I'll take that. I finally had my first... Oh, yeah, I didn't tell you guys my backup. When I was... Right before my dad died, I got busted drinking underage, and that's when I went to my first AA meeting. That was in 1999, and I was 20 years old, and I got to the room, and there was maybe 15 people, and none of them were under the age of 80. And I was like, yeah, the town I was in is the biggest retirement town for military people. So it was all a bunch of old, like, retired master chiefs and, like, drill sergeants. And they were all 80 years old and barking orders at me. And I was like, nah, that's not for me. I'm not one of them. I just like to party a lot. I should have seen that coming. But, okay, back to Tampa. So I get back to Tampa, and I meet my ex-wife, and I finally get my first DUI. We're coming down Bayshore, and I brake checked a guy who behind him there was a cop. So I basically brake checked the cop. He didn't think that was too funny. So so there I was going to jail, and you know, my son was born shortly after that, and I The week before my son was born, I got my stockbroker's license, so I have a lot of love for Bill Wilson. I know when I read his story, it kind of cracks me up because I was on the New York Stock Exchange drinking martinis. And yeah, anyway, but my son was born, and basically my ex-wife gave me an ultimatum: quit drinking or quit us. And so I did quit drinking from 05 to 09, and I was in the rooms on and off, but it was... my heart wasn't in it. I actually came to the YPG meeting once or twice back in like 05 or 06. I used to go to Yana with my old boss and 3333 and all that. But I didn't get a sponsor. I had a sponsor for a hot second, got to step three, and then quit that. And I was doing marijuana maintenance. I was just basically like going through the motions to stay in my marriage, but not trying to get sober. No intention of really. I mean, I was just getting high like I used to get drunk. So, long story short, I pulled my back out, throwing my son in the air, and thank you. That's awesome. I couldn't see the clock. I pulled my back out, throwing my son in the air, and got hooked on painkillers. And basically my ex-wife in my custody battle made me start doing urinalysis, so I had to quit the painkillers and the weed. And in order to go through the withdrawal, I drank my way through the withdrawal. And it wasn't but a week later, after my insurance had lapsed on my brand new Hyundai Sonata, that I nodded off at the wheel going 100 miles an hour at 75 in Sumter County and wrecked my car. And got another DUI and luckily lived and didn't hit anybody else. It was a miracle. But I got another DUI. And things just went madly downhill from there. I went into severe depression and had my custody yanked from me. I was like a stay-at-home dad, Mr. Mom with my son, and I loved him to death for the first 3 years of his life. I did everything. I bottle-fed him and diaper-changed everything. But basically, my life did a spiraling downhill from there. Once I got through the drug treatment, I actually ended up going to a doctor and having knee surgery and some back operations and actually getting a prescription for those painkillers. So once again, now I was allowed to take them. So I was drinking and doing painkillers, which was awesome. Yeah, no, that's a bad idea. I did way too many stupid things that I'm very ashamed of. And I went from just an alcoholic stoner to a super junkie in a second. And it wasn't cool at all. But that being said, the results of all this crazy partying, I went from having a top secret clearance working for military intelligence to having been to jail 6 times and fought 11 different charges. And yeah, I literally just got back from court on Monday where I got a felony dropped down to misdemeanor. And basically, I'm at the VA hospital using the Veterans Assistance Program to go to treatment right now. And I just made this my home group tonight. I love you guys. And and that's when they sprung this speaking thing on me. And I was like, just kidding. I don't want to be in your home group. But... So as of today, my sobriety date is March 13th of this year, so I'm working on like 94 days or something like that, and 94 days, yeah. It's a miracle. This is actually the first 94 days of complete and total sobriety I've had since I was probably 14, definitely since I was 15. And yeah, definitely. So I'm actually starting to like... remember things that I forgot I ever knew. Like, oh yeah, I knew that. But no, everything's starting to really come full circle. I know it's just beginning, but my life, I've already seen so many changes from just in this short 90-day period, and I was in jail 35 of those days, so that was forced sobriety. But as soon as I got out, I started going to... I did my first 90 meetings in like 40 days. I was going to 3 to 4 meetings a day, and some days I'd only do 2. So I was... but that was in Newport Richey, and my home group, actually how I got here, my home group was... the Fourth Dimension group in Newport Richey, and I met Dave, and got introduced to him and said I was coming down here for treatment, and he said, come check out YPG, and here I am. So I'm very grateful to be a part of this program. I've seen so much of my life just starting to turn around. I've had the state's attorney even said I look good, and she hates me. She's like, he looks good. I was like, eh. You know, for anybody that's just getting started in this, or for anybody who's forgotten what it's like, it sucks out there, and it's really great in here. I love AA, and I really can't. I could spend the next hour talking about how much I love this program and how much I love all y'all. If no one's told you today, I love you. So, that being said, I'd like to turn this back over to somebody who knows what they're talking about. Thank you for letting me share my story. God bless.